I am recording now.
He always hits me like this. Welcome to Barnstorming.
We always have a soft kind of opening when we're all talking.
Yeah.
Welcome to Barnstorming.
Is that what she said?
Something. Oh, shit.
So, yeah, we're actually here at Pronto in Lewisburg.
Pronto Provisions.
Pronto Provisions. Lovely little place here in downtown Lewisburg on the 200s block, I do believe. So, yeah, and then we're here. The Fightin' 200s. And we're here with community activist and lawyer Gene Stilp.
Is that how you describe yourself, Gene? Is that your. What would your business card say?
Just doesn't say except community. Says community activist. That's all.
Yeah.
Or actually, citizen activist. That's all.
Yeah.
Citizen activist Gene Stilp. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some in the press would like to call you a gadfly, but do you embrace that term or
no?
No,
I don't embrace that term. No one knows what that means really.
So. I don't know what it means either.
No, so activist. I think is a pretty self-describing. So we'll keep it at that.
Good public policy advocate.
That's true.
So,
if you've ever seen the Lady Liberty,
advocate?
Hold on, just to set the scene, Gene's just stuck his hand in a cup of fluid, cold water.
Cold water.
Did you burn your hand?
I have a burnt two tips of the fingers because I was putting a hot trash can in the trunk today.
and why was that trash can hot? Not all of our listeners may.
Because we burnt a Confederate Nazi combined flag today in Northumberland County, and after that I was rushing to put it in the car, and I burnt my finger. Maybe it's but that's okay. It's my I'm being very careful because that's what I use to crack safes with, and I don't want to destroy the
safe. A left-handed safe cracker.
Left-handed safe cracker. That's right.
Well, because the right one's gotta have his hand on the walkie-talkie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyhow, let's get back to serious things here. Okay.
Well, we always mix the serious and the ridiculous.
It's a little bit. It's got to be entertaining.
So frivolity here. Okay.
If you've ever seen the Lady Liberty on the Susquehanna River down in near Dauphin, is it in Dauphin County?
It's in Dauphin County in Middle Paxton Township on the border of Dauphin Borough. It's a statue that was put there in 1986 for the 100th anniversary of the Statue of Liberty in the harbor. In New York City, I should say, the New York Bay there, between Jersey and New York City. We thought we'd do something nice here, so we put up a Statue of Liberty on top of an old railroad pier there. It was a 32-foot railroad pier, and the statue then was 17 and a half feet with a construction torch on top, and I blinked. And that was put up, and nobody knew we did it. It came out of the fog the next morning, 4th of July, and just surprised everybody. So for a long time, nobody knew where it came from. We just left that mystery there. But after, it was only supposed to last 8 weeks, but after 6 years, it was bent by the wind, a big 80-mile-an-hour wind. And so we took it down and began the replacement project. And so now in that place, for the last 20 years, has been on top of a 32-foot pier, has been a 25-foot, 4-ton Statue of Liberty on top of that pier in the river. So
did you get a citation for that work?
No. The first one, they wanted to find out who did it to give them a citation, but nobody knew who did it, so they couldn't figure that out. And the second one, though, we had to get every permit in the world, FAA, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Historical Museum Commission. I had 20 different permits. It was amazing. And so she's still there after all these years, after 20 years for that one. She's still there. She has some cracks. I'm supposed to go and fix it up this fall, but I've been on the road a bit, but and also we're having trouble getting the 40-foot ladder out there on the John boat, so I have a little trouble, but we'll figure it out. We might just free climb it this time.
I'm curious, these ideas, and you're nothing if not short of, you always have ideas. Do they tend to, you're trying to go to sleep and they come to you, or does it come out of a conversation with other people, or somebody said something, then later you're like, is there any formula?
No formula, just... No formula, just what will work, and what's in the tool bag. You have a tool bag of skills. Let's say if there's a pay raise, like years ago, the pay raise for the legislators, did the legal case in the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania against that, overturned the pay raise. At the same time, you have to win in the court of public opinion. So what do? You have a 25-foot pink pig described to the legislators. So that. it's funny, to this day, you know, people might not remember the Supreme Court case, but they'll say, hey, you're the pig man. So I'm the pig man, what can I tell you? By the way.
Ironic, since you're a vegetarian.
Yes, it is ironic. And
I mean, the pigs are also like, hey, he's our guy.
He's, yeah, they're vegetarian. He's not eating us. For the most part. Yeah, we're friends. And also, I think the legislators gave the pigs a bad name. So
they do.
They did.
Yeah.
That's it. Her name is Pignelope. We actually might bring it out on Thursday because the legislators are getting a pay raise.
Are
on
they
Friday,
really?
They're getting another pay raise. So
even though they haven't really done the budget.
Haven't done the budget, so not only that, they have the pay raise, and also they're getting per diems now for the past four or five months since the budget was supposed to be finished July the 31st, or no, June 30th. So this is the fifth month they haven't done the budget, so they've been getting per diems ever since. So they really are hogging it up. So if I get a chance today, I'm going to go make the arrangements to bring the pig out for Thursday and say...
Do you need a permit for that?
Oh, yeah, you got to get a permit. Just call 783-9100, you get your permit. anyhow. 717-783-9100.
Well, you know, I think the trough makers are really, you know, like, you need to think about their jobs, right?
That's,
I mean,
right.
If people aren't feeding at the trough, they don't have work, so.
Yes, it's not a laugh. Don't laugh, you need a trough, okay. anyhow.
So what, as a kid, you know, did you give your mom a lot of problems, or were you an obedient child in school?
What does this have to do with anything? I'm still a child, okay? Come on.
So
thank you so much for asking.
For every idea...
No, okay,
yeah.
Don't you want to hear this?
Yeah,
I went to Catholic school, so that's where I learned my true disrespect for authority. Okay, so you go to Catholic school, nuns and all this stuff, in grade school, high school, you learn total disrespect for authority.
I mean, we're
so.
Not professional. We didn't sign any agreement ahead of time about what we would or wouldn't ask you for. I don't know...
No, you see what I'm charging for this interview.
Yeah, exactly.
More bread, please. Okay. Bread, water. So anyhow,
we gave you water.
Yes. What's the old thing from the who's the guy? Quasimodo. What movie was that?
Notre Dame.
Hunchback of Notre Dame.
She gave me water and a little sympathy. Okay.
So was there like a beginning to your activism? I mean,
Vietnam War.
Okay, not like abolition.
No. That's a little further back. If you will, or maybe the abolition of
militarism.
The abolition of the huge amount of draftees that were minorities in the Vietnam War.
Was that in Pennsylvania? Are you from Pennsylvania?
Wilkes-Barre.
Oh, okay.
So we started in doing anti-Vietnam War stuff a long time ago, and so.
What was the anti-war activity like in Central PA?
Minimal, very minimal, very skating. My brother actually was Al Stilp. He was one of the first conscious objectors in Wilkes-Barre in Luzerne County, and they didn't know what to do with him, okay? They didn't know what to do about this, and so he was very crisp on that as a young man, and he got people thinking about that. Anyhow, he taught me a lot, but the activity in Central Pennsylvania was minimal in regard to the Vietnam War, very minimal, so...
Did your brother come to it from Catholicism?
No, I would say he came through a good sense of questioning a lot of questioning a lot of the values, because you know Catholicism was all for the war. You know?
Yeah.
So
some Catholics.
Most Catholics, except for the people like the Catholic workers and things like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Dorothy Day and people like that. I actually think he took his motorcycle one time and went up to see the Catholic workers' place up there.
Oh, okay.
Up in New York one time, but you know. You know, you hear the, Country Joe and the Fish, you know, and things like that. And also you hear Arlo Guthrie and just the other day, Alice's Restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, so the bottom line is that activism can occur, but you still need it and things like that. Saw one sign down at the Women's March after Trump. It said, I can't believe we're marching again.
Yeah.
I can't believe we have to march again for this stuff,
yep.
You know. And
yeah.
But the key thing right now is forget about my past and things like that. Right now. Everybody's listening to this has to get out there on a daily basis and do all they can right now against this Trumpism, against this racism, against this, and what the Senate and House are doing right now on the tax issue, on the health issue. So, don't throw up your hands, don't be frustrated. Keep the
I think
home fires burning and get out there.
Yeah, I think that there's something that, you know, our listeners can take away from this is that, yes, calling your legislator is great, and going to a protest is great, but it's also good to be super creative about it. And Gene is a prime example of that.
Yeah.
He goes out there, thinks of something creative with props, does it, goes big, calls every press person he knows, and that's pretty cool too. So
I think he has Chip call the press people
sometimes.
So yeah, calling your legislators is good, but you know, there's a million and one ways to be active politically, and you know, maybe it's buying a giant inflatable pig, and or
I think in this area here, I mean, I'm surprised that nobody has actually taken over the offices of the Congressman Barletta, the Congressman Marino, and just occupied the offices and sat there and said, "Hey, we're not moving." We're not moving until you change your vote on something, okay? Especially look at the healthcare stuff.
Yeah.
It's good. It's affecting every person in Pennsylvania, every poor person, every senior. It's affecting everybody, every family. And these two guys and a lot of other of the Republican legislators across the state of Pennsylvania get away with it.
Yeah.
And the people don't think they have the power to change it. They just have to kick it up a notch in the 10th and the 11th, the 4th. Kick it up a notch. And also we need people to run for office, okay? You need a dozen people running for the office, not just one or two. So everybody has to kick it up a notch, and including me. I'm only at level one. I got to kick up a few more notches.
Yeah.
Well, if you're at level one, I don't know where the hell I'm at.
Yeah. Did you want to see something, Chip?
You know, Gene's had a great life, full of experiences, and it'd be impossible to fit them all in. But my favorite story, or one of them, is how I forget which one it was—the festival where you ended up taking over backstage Woodstock. And it's such a great story that tells you what kind of person he is and the determination. But if you want to give that to him real quick in a couple of minutes.
Oh, just a quick thing. We should do a lot of rock and roll shows over the years and things like that, anti-nuclear shows. And it was the second Woodstock. I decided that it was going to be a week, and I said, I should go up there and see the show and all that stuff. So somehow I just packed some food up and took the car up and got in the back roads up in New York State there and took all the country dirt roads back in there, and but on the way I made myself an all-access pass. Okay, it said all-access, and
he had no ticket.
So
he just got in the car and went.
Got stopped at a truck stop, got myself a lanyard, made myself an all-access pass, you know, and so then I get on the dirt roads, and you know, you come to a dirt road crossing of New York State and the country back roads there, and the state trooper sitting there, and I just said all-access pass. It says go. And all of a sudden, out of the woods, here comes an armored car. Okay,
what
the hell? An armored car. I said, wow. I said,
what year was this?
I think that was 25 years after the first Woodstock. But it was just Woodstock 2, just like,
right.
You know, regular concert. No big deal.
So, like early 90s?
So, 94. Yeah, 94. So what happens is that I said, that's backstage. You know, so, and that was a long way. So, turned on that road there. I pulled up to the first gate, and I said, I hopped out, and I said, Alexis, pass, watch this car, okay? So I started walking back, you know, and it's a long way still back, and another 3/4 mile back to Star Road, and also here comes an ambulance. I flag down the ambulance, hop in the seat, I said, let's go. We passed through two more gates, the ambulance pulls backstage, I got out and walked up on stage, and I was there for 3 days, okay, and in about 4 hours, for the backstage crew, I was in charge of the food. Okay, backstage, and then it started pouring. So I had a warm place to stay. I had food, and there was no cell phone, hardly any cell phones back then. And so somebody, one of the satellite trucks from CNN or CBS or something like that, they were letting me use their satellite phone. So it was like, and next thing you know, there's a sitting up there just watching. Watching everybody, you know, there was the Allman Brothers 10 feet away and things like that. And so it was a great place to watch a concert, and it was great.
When he first told me the story, it was, he got put in charge of backstage catering within 4 hours. I was like, how? He's like, sometimes, Chip, you just got to stay till the bitter end. I was the last man standing. Everybody else, like, it was a show, and people were flaking out. And all of a sudden, you're in charge of backstage food.
But you know, like it's a great story. But also, like, it was going through my head is like, there's this certain similarity with like movement organizing, right? Which is just this spontaneous, creative people showing up. People don't quite, you know, not everything's vetted, and you know, it's easy, you know, like
jumping in the ambulance.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. So I like the tax thing. Maybe we should use our last couple minutes to brainstorm like what would creative, you know, tax activism, anti-tax activism, like, because
I don't know.
Because I'll just say, like, one thing is, like when there's an issue that's crystal clear, you know, like Charlottesville and the Nazis or the pay raise, like that's easy. This, you know, these tax things are always
it's extremely difficult to figure out.
People's eyes glaze over.
First of all, in this state, Toomey is one of the main architects.
He is.
Casey's an obvious no. What the hell is activism at PA going to pull off anyway on this one?
Well,
what do you?
It's a good question.
Yeah, it's a good question.
We got a lot of people wasting a lot of limited time and energy out there. What the hell would any activism do in PA?
I mean,
it's not going to change Toomey, and we already got Casey. What the? That is the point.
Well, does it lay the groundwork for people to challenge Toomey? You know, like his whole Club for Growth background. Like that is the most. You know,
gee,
I mean,
what do you? I mean, challenge Toomey, okay, but what would be the point of activism on a tax bill in this state?
The only way to get effective media is to actually have enough people to take over Toomey's office to make a national statement about it. Have enough people to actually, it's none of the
taking
protests.
Taking it to the streets.
But taking it to the streets without
like,
actually going to his office to take
like
over
here's
the
office. Here's an example. Like, you know, you look at all of the ridiculous giveaways to, like, special
golf
interest,
club,
golf clubs,
owners,
private,
mm-hmm. private
you know,
jet owners.
The pass-through thing, and you have, you know, there's 50 of them, say, and you have, like, each activist with, like on their shirt, like I'm this giveaway, and it's like, as we're taken away, you should take these out of the bill. In other words, you're not trying to, like, maybe the short-term tactic is not trying to fight the whole bill, but just to point out how bad it is in all these little ways, and then they have to defend, it's scorched earth, they have to defend, why are you taking away tax breaks for teachers who pay more than $250? Why are you giving a tax break to people who pay for private schooling? You know, what about the estate tax?
You know, controlling the message, which we're really bad at.
You know,
that's a good point.
Exactly.
Maybe
and, you
we
know,
can start to get,
I meant to talk about, I meant to talk about this earlier, but Marino's been getting a totally free pass on everything that he's been doing in the papers and, you know, in the press, you know, and we haven't been challenging him on the tax bill. I would love for Marino to try and defend
the
tax bill to,
here
to
so
the 10th district, you know, which by and large would lose out.
A big advent calendar in front of Marino's office, and each day you open up a giveaway.
Yeah.
And then you get the media there every day, right, to, like, cover
at this
it.
Point, they have 8 more days. They have 8 more days for the tax bill, and that's about it. So one of the biggest things that could happen is the defeat of Roy Moore, so there's not that extra vote.
Is that before that?
No.
He
won't be sworn in before.
He won't be sworn in before that? Excuse me, my mistake.
No, it's all right.
Every now and then.
Damn it!
But it would be, you know, Democrat wins in Alabama, watch out GOP, all you swing voters,
well,
or all you... you
the Republicans have already lost
state.
Two.
But I think,
they've lost 2 votes already.
So clearly.
One more and it's over.
So clearly they're like, we gotta
can't
get this.
Can't you believe McCain is waiting for this? Moment in time.
I mean, it's also no. It's I don't even know where it is. I mean, we're focused on the Senate because there's a better chance to stop it there. But the House already passed it. But even if the Senate passes, it's still going to come back for conference.
It has exactly. The thing about Toomey, okay, Toomey is a lost cause, basically. Unless something dramatic happens, and I don't have what could happen, but Toomey wise, but he's a lost cause. He is this Club for Growth guy that people he's so hidden. He's like a
yeah, exactly.
He's
like really
hidden,
bugs me how much of a
he's like a
he
hidden.
Has.
He's like a ghost in Pennsylvania, and he has this
more like a poltergeist.
This minimal PR. He doesn't. He tries to stay out of the fights. He tries to not give any interviews. He's
right.
Really just tries to keep it very minimal. And so we need to somehow
freak him out,
expose him more, and also. Just don't know. It's too late now, but there should actually be a documentary on Toomey, all the damage he's done to Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania citizens, by him being there. All
citizen
damage.
Journalism. We should make a documentary. Ken Burns can do it.
What has he got on us besides years of experience, deep pockets,
and his own effect on
He has a bunch of old pictures. Okay.
Yeah.
He has a bunch of old pictures.
We could do that.
Okay?
Yeah.
He just talked over pictures.
We could do like a Richard Attenborough, like, here in the wilds of Pennsylvania,
here
we see the rare species of worker. What has happened to these workers?
You know, I just want to tell you guys one thing, okay? You know, you've heard of Gandhi,
our
right?
Our natured congressman. Very hard
Gandhi, is that the senator from Indiana?
Yeah, Gandhi was this. Gandhi was this, this, you know, he was like a mystic and things like that. Really,
mm-hmm.
very
he was a lawyer first.
Very, very spiritual, though. But also, he walked out. He wanted to be with the poor people. He walked all over India, his feet got really hard on the bottom, okay, very calloused, okay, and at the same time, because of that, he got very ill, you know, and people don't know this, but he was plagued by bad breath his entire life, okay?
Bad breath?
Bad breath his entire life, and that's why even today he's known as a supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Okay. Oh, God.
On that note, folks.
That was so good. You had us in the palm of your hand.
Yeah, it was fun just walking you guys into that. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
It's like
I like to watch it from the side.
It's like leading sheep off of a pier into a big vat of stew.
You guys were hanging on, is it?
Yeah,
we
have. Bad breath gone.
Really?
That's
a revelation.
That's good.
We might as well go off singing it, okay? Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
I love it.
Awesome.
All right.
Well, at this point, we're at the theme music. Tune in soon for our next episode of Barnstorming. We are very honored to have Gene Still.
Can we get you again? Because I feel like we only scratched the surface.
Yeah. Not scratching my surface.
Well, we'll try and have Gene on again. But until next time, this is Barnstorming.
Fight the tax. The Donor Relief Act of 2017.
Yeah, the Donor Relief
Act. Get your ass off the couch already.
Corporate Relief Act, yeah.
Yeah.
Put down the remote. Put down the donuts. Do something.
I didn't get any donuts.